This is Childhood Matters, presented by Interactive Parenting Media.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids.
We are family. Get up, everybody, and sing.
Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning and welcome to Childhood Matters. Parents play a vital role as leaders and advocates working with others to make sure children have a quality school experience. Unfortunately, all too often, there's inequality in our educational system and frequently low-income children suffer from the disparities. Many children go without supplies, books, experienced teachers, and an environment conducive to learning. And even in the schools and neighborhoods of wealth, children are not always getting what they need socially, physically, and emotionally. What can you do about it? I'm Nurse Rona, and I'm here Sundays to present important topics to parents, grandparents, foster parents, childcare providers, big sisters, big brothers, or anyone who cares for and about children. You know, research shows that students with involved parents are more likely to earn higher grades, attend school regularly, be promoted, and have better social skills, and also graduate and go on to college. There are many ways you can be engaged in your child's education. You can set up a learning environment at home, provide a routine and support for homework. You can volunteer at your child's school and advocate for your child when learning or behavior problems arise. Although the research shows that parent engagement is an important ingredient for a child's success, we also know that parents are under a lot of pressure due to working long hours, there are single-parent families, there are language barriers, and sometimes a less than inviting atmosphere at your child's school. Parents have a central role in influencing a child's progress in school, and schools have an important part to play in encouraging parent involvement. Some teachers go out of their way to have parents talk with them and help in the classroom and to speak about those unmet needs of their children, and yet there are others who discourage parents' questions and suggestions and make it difficult for parents to help out. Your children need you. Our schools need you. So today we'll talk about what parents can do to be involved and make a difference. If you want to be part of the conversation today, give us a call, 877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. You can also email us at info@childhoodmatters.org. This morning in studio, we have Carol Kosovar. She's the president of the California State PTA. As a volunteer legislative advocate for the PTA, she has worked in the past to improve public education by supporting adequate funding, small class sizes, arts for all children, special education funding, physical education and counseling, and the defeat of vouchers. She's worked as a journalist, attorney, and ombudsman, and also her two children are graduates of the San Francisco Public Schools. She also does a radio show for the San Francisco Unified School District. Carol Kosovar, welcome to Childhood Matters.
Well, thanks so much for inviting me, and it's a nice morning here in Oakland.
Thank you so much. And I know that you've been working hard with families, both when you were in the San Francisco Unified and also as your new job with the PTA. You're really committed to parent involvement. Maybe you could start off by telling us why you think it's so vital to have parent engagement for a child's success at school.
Well, you know, now more than ever, parents need to be involved in their children's education. And just to put it in context now, in California, we've seen really dramatic cuts in funding for our schools. And that means that we've seen schools and children lose what they really deserve, a full quality education. We need to have parents involved knowing how to help their children, how to help their school, but also we need to have parents involved to speak out because, you know, we can't do this to another generation of children. It's very, very important for parents to have the skills and resources and education that they need to do what every parent wants, and that is to do the best for their children.
Yeah, it's really one of those things. It's shameful when we cut out things like art and music and sports and after school programs. You think, why are we doing this? And I think you're right that it really takes parents coming together to speak up, as you said. So thank you for that. I really appreciate it. Also in the studio with us this morning is Jairo Guizash. He is the training director at Parent Leadership Action Network, also known as PLAN. He's a co-founder also and coordinator of Congreso Familiar, a nonprofit agency dedicated to promoting education and leadership development among Spanish-speaking families with children with special needs. Under his leadership, Congreso hosts an annual conference that attracts thousands of participants. It's held at Chabot College and has become the largest event of its kind in Northern California, and it's happening on August 13th. Jairo is also a certified domestic violence and anger management counselor, a parent educator, and a certified community mediator. Jairo is a proud father who, among other things, enjoys playing soccer with his teenage daughter. Good morning, Jairo.
Good morning, Rona. Thank you for inviting me. I'm happy to be here.
It's such a pleasure. Start off by telling us a little bit about the work PLAN does to unite and strengthen parents so that they can promote the needs for a fair and just school experience for all children.
PLAN has especially two training programs. One of them is called PLAN to Lead, and this is a comprehensive parent leadership and advocacy curriculum that has been to train more than 1,400 parents since 2005. The Training of Trainers program is an 8-month course that builds the capacity of Bay Area parent organizations and schools to engage and empower parents through training and leadership development. The other program is the Parents Ready for a School program training. And this is a dynamic hands-on parent leadership program that increases the skills, knowledge, and confidence of parents to successfully navigate the school system on behalf of their children.
So what you're saying is that PLAN is really supporting parents so they can support kids and teaching them real skills.
Absolutely. And in this fall, we're going to start the training of trainers for the Parents Ready for School program. And in that program, we intend to train both staff and parents from different schools so that they can multiply the number of parents who benefit from this curriculum.
You know, I mentioned to you, I helped write the curriculum for a program similar to PLAN back in the day. And I have to say, by teaching it, I learned so much about how to have a clear voice, how to stand up for children, and how to really think about what our children need. It's not that simple. You know, we go to back to school shopping and we buy the backpack and maybe a new pair of shoes and we send them off to school. And nowadays, it's just so much more to think about than that.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, so there's a lot. Thank you very much for the work you're doing. Also joining us is Keto. She's one of the first graduates from PLAN's Training of Trainers program. After the training, she took part in legislative visits, meeting with policymakers, and speaking before city council and school board members. She's facilitated small groups, forums, worked at conferences. She's written articles pertaining to parent involvement, and she works as an individual advocate for children and their families, especially related to education, family law, and diversity issues. She's a single parent of two adult daughters with special needs, and she's been attending Berkeley City College with her eldest daughter. Keto, welcome to our show.
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, Keto, maybe you could start off by saying a little something about what you learned at PLAN. You say that this training was priceless. And maybe say what you learned that helped you stay involved in your daughter's education, especially when things weren't going so well.
Well, definitely. When I first started supporting my children when they are young, I mean, I thought it was all about baking cupcakes or chaperoning on that field trip to the pumpkin patch. But what it quickly turned into by the time she reached her freshman year, her special ed teacher was talking to me and said, we really can't help Bria any longer, and we're going to have to transfer her to another school. And that school was called Media Academy College Prep, which I thought sounded like a fine private school. But actually finding out that it was at Fremont in the Flatlands, with PLAN's teachings and trainings, I learned that that was coded language for her, my daughter's GPA, or ADA, which is, you know, attendance or average daily attendance, was affecting their numbers and actually causing them, and her status of special ed was actually causing the school money.
So you saw through the training that you had to really ask lots of questions about what was happening with your daughter.
Right. And here we were with this part of their curriculum is the right question.
Yes. So, and you told me when we spoke on the phone that what the eventually you did was be in the classroom with her.
Right. And I had to be because the new teacher's statement was, we'd like to see what Bria can do on her own. But going into the second term of senior year, I was shown that what she can do on her own without proper support, without the assistance, is only fail. And so that was necessary then for me to step in and attend school with her.
And you did whatever was needed to make sure that your daughter graduated.
Correct.
And I think, you know, maybe you could have done it without the training, but my guess is you felt a whole lot more confident knowing that you could step up and speak to authority. And I think, Carol Kosovar, I'm just saying that's where some of the issues come, is when parents need help speaking to the authority of teachers.
I think you're correct, and that is parents need to have a good relationship with teachers. I mean, we are all working together for the betterment of our children, but sometimes things are not as easy as they should be. And so giving parents the resources and skills and confidence when something looks to be going south to say, you know what, I think that there are certain issues that I need to bring up and I need to speak about, and to be able to feel that that's part of what you do to advocate for your child.
Absolutely. Kito, thank you for that. And there are calls waiting. Let's start taking calls, and we'll see how we can be of any help to the parents who are listening. 1-877-372-KIDS. We have Oswaldo on the phone with us from Livermore. Good morning, Oswaldo.
Good morning, Rana. How are you?
I'm good. I hope you're well, Oswaldo.
Oh, I am. Just for information, my email was hacked, and I'm not in Madrid.
Oh.
You don't need to send me any money.
Okay. Because, you know, I thought that might have been the case. We'll talk offline, but I thought that might have been the case. I'm so glad to see that you're not really in trouble. So tell us what you want to ask this morning, Oswaldo.
Well, as you know, our son, Skylar, is a gifted and talented student for 3 years in a row. And with all the intricacies that I have with his mom, that she's a lawyer and, you know, Kimberly, you know, and she is really involved with on his education. Not necessarily in contact with the teacher, but she sends email. She gets very involved with his daily school activities. I'm, on the other hand, I actually provided, you know, I give French classes to the kids, Italian or Brazilian day, whatever.
Ah, that's very cool. That's a good way to be involved, Oswaldo.
Yeah, but I wanted to know from the panel of experts there, how can I, because I see that he benefits because the teacher gets to spend more time one-on-one with him and the other kids.
Yeah.
But if there is any other way that I can provide, my services to the teacher and to the school to increase personal attention and assistance to my child?
And what grade is he in?
He's going into fifth grade.
Okay, he's going to fifth grade. Anyone here want to say something here? Carol?
Well, I think one of the things that you can do is, I guess the first step all the time is just go in and talk to the teacher and talk to the principal and ask, you know, what are certain things that our school may need? How can I help? Because they may have identified some things that you or others in the school can help for example, I mean, I'm on a listserv, and I watch the schools are getting started up for the school year, and I noticed, for example, that there were a lot of emails going around where one school was moving classrooms, and there were lots of packages and things that had to be moved, and the parents and the PTA were saying, you know, we're going to get together, go to this school, and help move all those packages, get into the right room so that when school starts up, everything is there. So having good communication with the school and seeing what they need so you can help out.
That's perfect. And Jairo, I know that with PLAN, sometimes people really are doing things specifically for their children's education, and sometimes it's for the whole school. So you're really training people to do both, right?
Absolutely. I would speak as a parent also, not just as a representative of an agency, but I also have a child. And what we do is really research how many opportunities we have in the school. And you mentioned helping in the classroom, and certainly that's a very good way to help in your child's school. There is also the parent-teacher conference. It's a wonderful opportunity to get, you know, to get to know exactly what's going on with your child. And we know that not all parents participate in parent-teacher conference, but that's another opportunity to participate, helping with field trips, with the school site council, and helping the school to develop a culture of welcoming parents and participation, for instance.
And Oswaldo, since I know you, you're a regular caller and I've met you, I know that just your presence in the classroom when you can do that will not only help your son, but it helps all the other children you come in contact with, especially some of the kids who might not have a parent to help them. Oswaldo, thank you for calling us this morning. I'm so glad you're well, and best of luck to you as the new school year starts.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful day.
Take care. Let's get another call. We have Yvette from Dublin on with us. Good morning, Yvette.
Yes, good morning. Oshana, I have a question for you. I'm trying to be involved in my daughter's school, and when I'm trying to volunteer in my daughter's classroom, she acts out all the time.
Yes.
And that's sad for me because sometimes I was thinking I should not volunteer anymore, but I want to be with her at school. So I wonder if you have any suggestions I can, you know. And the other thing is when I'm trying to do homework with her, sometimes she tells me, Mommy, it's too hard. I can't do it. She just gets so frustrated. So I don't know, it's a power control she has with me. I have no idea why she's doing that.
Right. And, you know, and she's 6 years old?
Yes.
You know, some children, again, depending on their temperament, act very differently when parents come into the classroom. And some of it is just practice. And over time, but I would practice with her ahead of time, like when you're home. I would play with her and talk to her about when you come to the classroom, here's what's going to happen, here's what you're going to do. And then I would talk to the teacher about what is she like when you're not there and how is it different. It might be that she's just very attached to you in that way, and over time she will get more and more used to it. Kido, anything? I know when you've dealt with teenagers in the classroom, it's a little different than a six-year-old.
Yes, definitely. But again, when it's even a small, younger child, the idea of the parent coming in, it may be making more attention to your child, and she might be even embarrassed, right? So lots of times to take the edge off, work with the other children and maybe the children who are not reading as well and, you know, work with them. And that's how I did with my daughter, Bria.
Especially when she's older, especially for the teenagers. I have a feeling with Yvette that your daughter may have a little low frustration tolerance. So we're going to go to a break. If you can stay with us, I have a couple more things that we can say to you, Yvette. So hang in there, and we'll keep talking about this because I think it's important because all children really are different. And how you're going to approach school involvement with one child is different than you are with another. So we'll be back in a real short while. Don't turn off your dial, and we'll talk about school involvement.
Pick up the phone. phone and get involved.
Call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
More with Rona Renner after this.
Here's this week's Childhood Matters community calendar with events for parents and kids. Come through to the Congreso Familiar Family Congress Spanish Language Workshops held at Chabot College in Hayward, Saturday, August 13, 8:30 to 4. For more information, call 510-851-2056. That's 510-851-2056. Celebrate the 9th anniversary of the Charles M. Schulz Museum in Santa Rosa, Thursday, August 11, 5 to 8. Free admission and free ice cream for all. For more information, call 707-579-4452. That's 707-579-4452. Ever wanted to help children in need? Volunteer with CASA. The Court-Appointed Special Advocate Program is looking for volunteers to advocate for children who have been abused, abandoned, or neglected. If you are interested in making a positive change in a young one's life, call 510-618-1964. That's 510-618-1964. Enjoy free self-guided tours at the Marine Mammal Center in Sausalito all year round, open 10 to 5. Donations are happily accepted. For more information, call 415-289-SEAL. That's 415-289-7325. Worried about the safety of your toddler around swimming pools and bathtubs? Then mark your calendars for the water safety event held at Habitat's Children Museum in Berkeley, Wednesday, August 16, 10 to 11:30. For more information, call 510-647-1111. That's 510-647-1111. Have a fun family Sunday evening today at Curiosity in San Mateo. Today, August 7th, is our free day of the month, opening at noon. For more information, call 650-342-7755. That's 650-342-7755. Bring the little ones out to sing along with Bonnie Lockhart at the West Portal branch of the San Francisco Library Tuesday, August 9th, starting at 10:30 a.m. For more information, call 415-355-2886. That's 415-355-2886. For additional information on events, call 510-663-5437. And to submit information, email info@childhoodmatters.org.
As our listeners know, we do Childhood Matters as a labor of love on a shoestring budget. We're here every week because so many of you call in and tell us you find our work valuable. Now we're asking for your help. In order to stay on live radio and continue to spend time with you in your home or car, we need your support. If you value what we do and want to help us continue, please go to Childhood Matters website and click the Donate Now button. Every single donation will make a difference. Not all of our listeners can afford to donate, and that's the point of making this service available for free. If you can, your support is greatly appreciated by the small staff at our nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media. Because of the state politics, some of our funders have been cutting back, so your support is critical as we connect to new funders. Please visit childhoodmatters.org today to make a tax-deductible contribution. We can't do this without you. On behalf of the thousands of people we reach every week, thank you for your support. I'm Nurse Rona.
Childhood Matters.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
Today we're talking with Carol Kosova, the president of the California State PTA, Jairo Guiza, the training director at PLAN, which is Parent Leadership Action Network, and Keto, a family advocate and one of the first graduates from the PLAN's Training of Trainers program. We have Yvette on the line with us right now, and we're going to go back to you here. Yvette, are you with us? Hello? I think you're there. Hi, Yvette.
Hi, Nurse Rona.
Oh, good. So a couple more things. Jairo, you were going to say something about when things maybe aren't working so well with a child when a parent goes to the classroom.
Yes, I would just repeat what you said earlier, that every child is different. And so is our approach to how do we participate in the school. So if you find that the child is uncomfortable with your presence in the classroom, then you can find other ways to get involved, either in the same classroom or in another classroom. But I think the most important thing is that your child, the message that she's getting is that education is important for you, that her education is important for you, and maybe with some practicing, as Rona suggested, maybe things can turn around over time.
Well, you know, I think that's a good point. And Yvette, I noticed our producer made a note here that you also have a 3-year-old. And one of the things that occurred to me is maybe she doesn't want to share you. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And you know, she's tired of sharing you. And now you come into the classroom and she doesn't want to share you with everyone else. So one thing that you want to pay attention to is there any time when the two of you are together without anyone else? You know, do you have that one-on-one time with her, Yvette?
Really, a few occasions I will have that time, but
yeah, I would think that, you know, one thing, another level of parent involvement is to say, after school, we're going to go together and we're going to go to the Lawrence Hall of Science, or we're going to go to a museum, or we're going to go out for tea, or whatever it is, and then you can talk about school. My sense from what you said about her homework, she also probably has a little low frustration tolerance, and she might need you to be sitting near her, breaking things down into small parts, helping her with her work. Carol, anything you want to add?
I think that you've hit the nail on the head, and that is that parent involvement can take many, many forms, and it can take the time that you spend with your child trying to understand what that child's needs are, to volunteering in the class, to helping your school as a whole, but looking to see, you know, first, you know, what does my child need? That's really why I'm there, and making sure that you address those concerns and those needs, and then seeing in terms of what your time is and what your availability is, how can you help a large number of children? And as you said, it can be done in many, many different ways. But the important message to your child is, first, you're really important to me and your education is really important to me. And you model that so that your child can actually see how you help.
Good. And Yvette, I'm going to look on my bookshelf and see if I could find a book for you related to this. I don't have any in front of me right now, but I think if you talk to her and then plan something that the two of you are going to do right after you participate in class together, it might make a difference. And think of her as sort of the most important thing in that classroom, the most important person in that classroom as you're helping out. Yvette, I really appreciate that you called us this morning. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you, Nurse Ron. I appreciate your advice. Thank
okay, you. Bye-bye. Let's take another call. We have Veronita with us from San Jose this morning. Good morning, Veronita.
Good morning.
Oh, so nice to hear from you. Thank you for joining us. Parent involvement, what's your view on what some of the barriers are or why it's so important?
Well, first of all, I think it is important because no matter what age, parents are the children's first educators, but sometimes we don't realize that because they might not be qualified, you know, like the teachers are, but they are the children's first educators. I think my concern sometimes is, and from my experience, is that school seems to be more open to parents coming in to complain or have issues than parents coming in as partners. So when you go in, sometimes it's like they're ready if you have a complaint or something.
Yeah.
Instead of opening up for you to be a partner. So how can, especially one of your guests, I think the PTA president, how can we help parents, I mean the schools, to be more open to parents' partnership?
Yes.
And not just set up waiting for us to come complain and...
You know, I love when you join us because you're a real thinker, Veronita, and you're really getting down to one of the core issues. I will ask Carol, but I want to ask Kito first. You know, you had to really do some advocacy to get your child an education she needed, and you had a lot to complain about, but I think you learned through the plan training how to be a partner. You know, I know you had to do that. Did the school in any way help you do that?
Well, no, actually. So, you know, I was trying to run uphill as I'm being pulled and dragged down, right? So first was being able to decipher the coded language that I was being given, and then being able to give those answers and communicate with them so they knew and understand and trusted the fact that I want to take a part. You know, something the teacher said to me was, we've never had a parent offer in this one special ed class.
Wow. You
know, so I think that incited fear, you know.
Like you're going to be there just to judge them,
right,
and to be hostile.
And to, you know, pinpoint what they're not doing, you know, whether it was lack of resources or their will not to see that each child got, you know, a quality education.
So you were actually not just coming to complain. You were actually coming to help.
Correct.
And I think, Carol, this is such an important point Veronita is bringing up, because teachers really do want help. And,
yeah,
they, you know, they don't, you know, complaining puts them on the defensive.
And I think that one of the first things that any parent or parent group can do at the very beginning of the year is sit down with the teacher and sit down with the principal and look to see what are the needs of the parents and needs of the school, and plan together on providing the parents and the school with a goal. I mean, actually sit down and strategize and say, you know, one of the things I'm seeing at our school is we don't have enough translation for our parents. Our teachers may speak one language and our parents may speak other languages. How can we work together to help make sure that everyone feels included in the decisions that the school is making?
So that's something proactive. And I think also, Jairo, what I saw over the years, and you've had your daughter in school for a long time too, there are teachers who are really proactive, who will give those wish lists, who will call you up to say how well your child's doing, not how negative things are, how bad things are. So there are things that the school can do to really invite cooperation rather than just complaining. Any good examples from your experience as a papa?
Oh, absolutely. Fortunately, I had a good experience in my child's school. I was welcome and I was actually encouraged to participate. I was a docent teacher and teaching art in throughout the elementary school. And I think creating an environment, and I think this is parents can play an important role in creating an environment where other parents, those who are especially immigrant parents, parents who are sometimes marginalized because of these barriers, language barriers, that they feel welcome and that they can, their input is important and is heard, and then pass on that information to teachers in certainly in a cooperative, collaborative way.
And I think, Veronita, from my experience, thank you, Jairo, also sometimes it's the secretary. It's the first person a person sees when they walk in. I've had too many parents say to me when I worked in Richmond, you know, they didn't say hello, they didn't smile, I didn't feel like I was welcome. And again, teachers are amazing. They work so hard, and school, there are so many fabulous teachers who are overwhelmed and working hard, but we need that invitation. Veronita, was there anything you wanted to add to that?
Just to be fair, too, that even as parents, because I'm a both, and you know, I'm a teacher and also a parent, and I teach special ed, so I kind of fit in here. As parents too, that sometimes it's not just the school, but I think one of the father said the environment. When the kids are younger, it seems like, you know, some parents are more welcome. But in California, I mean, California, we have a huge, you know, huge amount of immigrant parents that are here. And sometimes, maybe not thinking, we don't realize that these parents have so much to offer. We just look at the fact that they don't speak the language or they don't. But there are other things, like the father just said about the art. But then also as parents, sometimes we don't go to the school.
That's right.
Until there's a problem.
That's right. Exactly.
So
you know, one of
have to work, you know, together.
Yeah.
I just wanted to share what I think is a very exciting program that the California State PTA is involved in, and it's a Smarts Academy to address exactly what you're talking about, because we have so many parents now who may not have gone to school in the United States or know how the system works at all. It's a mystery to them. And so they don't know a lot of how various ways of preparing children for different styles of learning. They don't understand the education system. They don't understand how the school works. And so we have been through a grant with the Hewlett Foundation creating these parent academies. We now have 14 pilot schools throughout the state where we have parents actually go through a whole series of sessions on this.
Yeah, beautiful. There, Anita, what grade do you teach?
Right now, I'm teaching young children with autism from preschool up to, like, first grade.
Beautiful.
But I taught people with disability from 0 to 21 and older.
Yeah.
And I've taught regular kids, you know, part-time.
Yeah. Well, that's where a lot of your wisdom comes, because you've had a lot of experience, both your own children and teaching. And thank you so much for your input this morning. I have a nice book called Reading Magic, Why Reading Aloud to Our Children Will Change Their Lives Forever by Mem Fox. I love her. It's a beautiful book. This might be fun for you to have for some of the parents you work with. I think, you know, children with special needs, you know, I know from some of the kids I've worked with or know they love to be read to. All kids love to be read to. So I'll send that to you. And thanks for joining us this morning, Veronita.
So thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, all of you.
You're listening to Childhood Matters. Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
IHSD's San Mateo County Early Head Start and Head Start program is recruiting infants, toddlers, and preschool-age children. They provide free, excellent, comprehensive child development and early care services in an infant and preschool center setting through licensed family child care homes or high-quality home visiting services. To obtain more information about their programs, please call 650-871-5613 or visit their website, ihsdinc.org.
Lots to talk about this morning, parent involvement, and I want to listen to a piece that our producer Lorenzo Plazzola did at Studio Grow. Let's take a listen.
I'm associate producer Lorenzo Plazzola, and I'm chatting with some parents about their involvement with their child's education. What steps do you take to be more involved in your child's education?
I make sure I always check my daughter's backpack when she comes home from school to make sure that I see any notes from her teacher, any notes from the school, and also her homework. I want to see how much homework she needs to do that night. And we set aside some time so that we can work on her homework. If she needs help, I'm definitely there to help her. But I kind of let her do it on her own first to see what it is that she's strong on, what subject, and where she needs help.
I think for starters, it is being really careful about choosing the type of school that you want them in, and then just really being involved in the classroom as well. I just made a point of always showing up and maybe later and staying late to talk to the teacher about how she was doing and if she was having any, if it was affecting her or impacting her learning in any way, or if they noticed any progress.
Do you find that your child's teacher or your school make it easy to be connected with your child's progress?
Well, her teacher's very, every time she sees a parent, she says, high, and right away, at least with me, she tells me that my daughter is doing good.
Absolutely. I think most schools nowadays issue progress reports. They have conferences. My daughter had some articulation issues with speech. She was in private speech therapy, and it was really nice to get that feedback, because as a parent, when you see them every day, you don't even notice.
Well, what, in your opinion, are the benefits to being on top of your child's work?
I think being involved helps the student out a lot. She gets excellent grades. She's an excellent reader. She's great in math, reading, and writing. So I think that's very helpful.
I think it's also, you just become more relevant to them. If you find out that they're studying bugs for the month of August, and you talk about bugs at home, they get really excited because they have things to add to that. They can tell you, oh, I know a bug has X number of legs, and I know a spider is not a bug because it has this number of legs and whatnot. And they get really excited, and it's easier to teach in a really non-pushy way.
And finally, what would you advise to parents who may have a hard time getting involved with their child's education?
As a parent, I know that time is a big factor, work and language. All those things definitely make it difficult for a parent to always be on top of their child's homework. However, I do think that they have to make time. If one parent isn't available to do it, then, you know, maybe the other person can do it, their spouse or another parent. But they definitely need to get involved.
For Childhood Matters, I'm Lorenzo Plazola.
Thank you, Lorenzo, and thanks to the parents. Kito, anything stand out for you in what they said?
Well, definitely, because in the sense of being involved with their studies and being able to mirror what the teacher is doing in the classroom and connecting with your kid. And then that's that special time, too, that you have with each child. I mean, with two daughters, I spent specific time, and we actually had certain times on a board of when that was their study time with me. And then we would actually figure out an activity for the weekend for a day that I held especially for that child. And there would be a time slot that we would meet on our own. And it would be me and that one daughter. And
you were really valuing them learning, and you didn't have the TV on while they were trying to learn.
Well, oddly enough, people are amused that there was no TV during the week. And... No DVDs, movies, nothing. And they didn't have video games or a television in their room.
You were down to business, weren't you?
Definitely.
All right, good. Anything stand out for you, Carol?
Well, I think one of the most important things, even before our children start school, is being able to fill their world with words, making sure that we speak to them, interact with them, ask questions, have discussions with them, even if... It's just the smallest thing to ask their ideas, because one of the things we want to make sure is that we build a strong vocabulary for our youngsters, and so that not only do we read with them, and we read with them in any language to understand the importance of literacy, but we also take some time, for example, to just make sure we get books out of the library and spend that time with them so that they have that warm sense about literacy.
Absolutely. Hiro?
I think it is very important to create a culture in the home where education is important. And we include, we've sent that message through conversations by saying what the expectations are for our children, you know, in terms of how do we want them to, what do we expect them from school. When they know that when we set priorities in at home, education is the number one priority.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. You know, I have a nice book here, How to Tutor Your Own Child by Marina Kostler Rubin. I'm going to send that to Yvette. I just want to mention it. I just got it in the mail. Looks like a great book, How to Tutor Your Own Child. Let's take another call now. We have Molly Vittorte with us. She is with Great Schools, and she's going to tell us a little bit about a wonderful resource that many resources that they offer. Good morning, Molly.
Hi, good morning, Rona. Thanks so much for having me on your show today.
You're welcome. You have a fifth grader as well.
I do. Thanks for asking.
Yeah.
You know, Nurse Rona, you really nailed it this morning at the beginning of your show when you told us that parent involvement has a huge impact on student achievement. You know, it matters just as much as a student's teachers and the school environment. Because after all, parents are a child's first teacher, like the caller from San Jose that Anita told us, and we are teachers for life.
Right. We sure are.
And that's why...
for better or for worse.
Great Schools exists. Over the last 12 years, we've become a trusted, independent resource and a national website. We're visited by 40 million Americans, families. They use our school guides, our articles, our newsletters, our worksheets, activities, news stories, and our resources on parenting topics that range from academics and activities, homework help, parenting dilemmas, health and behavior, learning difficulties, anything you can imagine, pre-K through 12.
So tell me the website again.
It's called greatschools.org.
Well, you know, back in the day, I used to always send people to Schwab Learning when they had a child with a learning difference or ADHD. And I know that when they stopped doing their website, you got this wonderful material also on children with special needs and learning. And I always thought that was a terrific resource. That's still there, isn't it?
It sure is.
Yeah.
Sure is. We were able to incorporate the whole Schwab Learning resource into the Great Schools website, and we've got that and so much more. We have grade-based newsletters. We have an online parenting community. And most recently, we've got, in for the elementary school grades, we've got a whole lot of short video short videos on all kinds of parenting topics that model parenting, effective parenting issues that range, like I mentioned, from how to have a great parent-teacher conference, how to help your child with homework,
to
raise a smart, confident, motivated kid, how to instill organizational skills in your child, how to help a young reader, how to instill a love of learning, all kinds of great stuff.
That's great, Molly. It sounds like a real resource for people to look at. It's greatschools.org. And thank you for calling in and reminding me about it and also letting people know, because I think this is what we often need. And parents are going more and more to the internet. You know, and I think I went to the PTA website as well, Carol, and I noticed you really built up a lot of resources.
We've added a lot of resources recently. A couple of things I think we could highlight. First, we have now a Spanish portal where Spanish-speaking parents can go in and find a whole wealth of resources about how to be involved in their PTA and involved in their child's life from lots of well-respected sources. And we also have lots of resources on how to help your child. We have a brochure that I always love, and it's called 100 Ways to Help Your Child Succeed in School. Yeah. And we have parent guides, and we have lots of things, not only for that, but also on how to run your PTA. So it's CAPTA.org. Real simple.
Good. And Molly, thank you so much. We'll put make sure greatschools.org is up on our website as well at Childhood Matters. And join us on Facebook, and we'll join you on Facebook, and, you know, we'll keep connecting. So have a good day, Molly.
Thanks, Rona. Bye-bye.
So as we keep talking, and if anyone wants to call, we still have time, 1-877-372-KIDS. What are we forgetting to say here about the challenges parents face? You know, I think on one hand, parents want to be involved. They care about their kids' education. And sometimes they feel really frustrated because they don't feel like they have the time to do that. Anything else you want to advise in terms of ways to be involved?
Yes. Taking some information out of our Parents Ready for School curriculum, I would say that having what we do in the first training is to develop a vision where parents come together and they talk about what the school of their dreams is. How do they describe it? What do they envision? And it is by creating this vision that motivates then how to make that dream come true. And that's what motivates action. So we start with that, and then we move to train parents on other skills, like learning to ask the right question. And that means not being afraid of speaking with teachers or with principal or whoever they need to talk to, developing confidence and developing the skills on how to have fruitful, meaningful conversations about your child, being able to ask questions to anyone in the school or anywhere else, anybody who has to do with your child's education. And the other thing that we emphasize is getting to know some statistics, some information that come from the school. We help parents learn to read the SARC,
S-A-R-C,
which is the School Accountability Report Card. And that is a very important way to get to know how schools are performing, so that when you're shopping around for the best school for your child, you know exactly what are you looking at. And so these are some of the ways that parents can more deeply get involved in the child's education.
You know, I really liked what you said, Jairo, about looking at what the school of their dream is. You know, I know that on one hand, sometimes we don't want to dream because we feel we're just not going to get there with our child's education. And yet I also know parents who have contacted me and over the years who have started schools because they couldn't find what they wanted in their local school as well. And that's fine, too. I mean, there are, of course, charter schools and other schools that are being developed that come out of that dream. And then there are other people who really want to help that neighborhood school, that public school, if it's in your neighborhood, if you don't live in San Francisco, that is, you know, that school become a place that they are proud of. And I think, again, it's this parent power that can help do that. But it does take time and effort, for sure. Any other ideas from either of you here, maybe Kido, about what parents can specifically do?
Well, they can actually join me along with Plan and learn how to not only get into that mindset of asking right questions, but then taking it a step further and learning how to organize other parents and also take action and learning about that budget that seems so confusing. Like, you need a school degree to learn. Just with those basic knowledges, then, you know, you can go so much further and in the decision-making and become a decision-maker yourself.
That reminds me, and I'm sure PTA, Carol, you could say something about that, is the parents who have a vision and who learn how to advocate can then sit on the councils also at school, the various councils that there are that sometimes seem intimidating, but that's how they can actually make change, right?
Yeah, I think there are many ways that parents can make change, and I would invite anyone who's concerned about their children, concerned about the future of California, to join the California State PTA and join the PTA at your school, because parents working together really can make a difference. I remember when I was had kids in the elementary school and realized that the only reason that we had any art in our school is that we sold T-shirts and sweatshirts, and very, very concerned that, you know, our schools don't have a broad, complete curriculum for our children. And then realized after a number of years that there is an organization like the PTA where we can join and have the power of almost a million parents speaking up for those children. So it doesn't have to be the one person at one school selling sweatshirts, but it can be a broad voice of parents speaking to our elected officials saying, this is not right. We need to make sure we have adequate funding. We need to make sure we have arts and music in our schools. And so going from having a dream, as you said, but having a goals are dreams with deadline, looking at what our goals are and putting those dreams into reality.
You know, and I think it's important for people who have shied away from the PTA sometimes because they think it's some little club and they don't belong to it. And, you know, maybe there's no one who looks like them in the PTA. Rethink it. Step in there. Join and make sure that it become, if it's not already, make sure it becomes a place that includes all voices, includes all types of people, includes fathers, includes people with different opinions, because it is the power of how to make things done. We have a message from one of our callers, Jennifer from San Pablo, and she says that she wants to remind parents that teenagers are important too. They can be involved in their parents volunteering at school, but I also want to say about teenagers is don't stop being involved in your child's school just because they've gone to middle school or high school. You know, a lot of people say, oh, they're not going to want me there. Well, in fact, you know, they don't mind when you bring some good food to them and their friends. They don't mind when you have creative ideas. I was the co-director of a diversity committee in middle school, and we brought in some great speakers to address some of the racism that we were seeing, some of the bullying, those things. You can be involved in different ways. It's not the same as when your child's six, but it's important. Jairo, a final word, and tell us about how people can find out about PLAN.
Absolutely. I strongly encourage all parents who hear about the PLAN programs to engage in these programs. You can find more information on our website, www.plan.org. parentactionnet.org.
Great. And also this weekend, on next weekend, on Sunday, Saturday.
Please, we would like to see every family, Spanish-speaking family who have child with disability to show up at Chabot College for our annual conference.
Thank you, Jairo Giza. Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Kido. I really appreciate all of you being here. And thanks to our team. We have Felsha Zuschlag, our producer, Lorenzo Plazola. And also thank you to my kids, Pei, Mara, Matt, and Karina. And don't forget, spend time with your child and take care of yourself. Childhood matters, and so do you.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters.
Produced by Collins Media Services and presented by the nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media.
We are family. Yeah, everybody is
Join us again for Childhood Matters. Find out more at childhoodmatters.org.